Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. A common complaint among rural educators and students is that there are so few books or materials relating to village life. The Yukon Koyukuk School District is solving that problem by creating its own series of books. Kurt Madison and Yvonne Yarber are in the process of putting together biographies of people living in the villages included in the district. There will be two books for each of the 11 villages, ranging from Kaltag on the Yukon to Tananaw, the entire Koyukuk River from Koyukuk to Bettles, and also Manly and Minto. One of the most striking aspects of these biographies is that the books are written in the language of the speaker. That is, the English language isn't cleaned up, the grammar isn't corrected, and the words aren't changed. Reading the book is almost like hearing the person speak, and that's the whole point, according to the authors.
The decision to write this in the language style of people we're interviewing philosophically is very important to both of us. And the person telling the story has many subtle things that within the language that we don't even know, you know, ourselves, not being from the area. And I don't care if you've been there 5, 10, 15 years, somebody who has grown up there and it's the language they speak, there are going to be certain ways of saying things that if you change it into standard English, you're going to lose some of the cultural nuances that are there. And we feel very strongly about this. If we were to change the way the people spoke, you take out much of the beauty and much of the story. I mean, we would then be telling, we'd be retelling the story rather than, and I think we'd lose a lot. Because even now, even though we've worked on these tapes so many times and written the books, we'll pick up a book and read and discover something new in it, you know, which I doubt would have happened if we wrote it in our own language style.
What about the, you know, the hardline English teachers that say what you're teaching the kids or what they're getting from this is not going to help them when they have to go on and have to write business letters or whatever it is that people have to do to know standard English for it?
Well, I have something to say to hardline English teachers, and that is that education, as it is usually done in the United States, is not something that is to benefit the students, but it is something that is made to make the students conform to and be obedient to a form of society which is at the present dominating in the country. And as that culture, the dominating culture, changes, so the education changes. But it is not centered in the student. It is not centered in the people in an area. And if you have any kind of minority, there are white minorities and there are native minorities. There are all kinds of minorities. And we both feel that we would like to live in a society that encourages minorities and strengthens a multicultural kind of society. And you don't do that by creating something that requires students to conform. And so one of the basic ideas of this series was to take information from a place, process it, put it in a form that is a respectable form to be in the schools, and return that without making it into the usual standard English or standard form. So it comes from the place and it returns to the place without being changed that much. That was very important to us.
These are, I've haven't read them all, but I've read various parts. They're very personal stories. Some of it involves details about early childhood, problems. There are family conflicts and just all kinds of personal details in these. How did you get the people to talk so freely, and then did you have any problems with making them so personal?
Well, we felt that an important thing to do in school is to demythify things. And nostalgic ideas of who people are creates myths. It doesn't destroy them. And so the people in these books have to be real people, and they go through real problems. And kids face the same kinds of problems. And so to present a person in a way that people will recognize and feel comfortable with and can see their own development along the same lines is helpful. So we didn't want to gloss over anything. We didn't want to make anything nostalgic or clean it up and make it pretty. It's supposed to be about the way people really are.
Now an example of what we're talking about is in order. Kurt is going to read from the biography of Frank Tobuk, an Inupiaq Eskimo from Evansville, and that's the residential area around Bettles Field in the Brooks Range.
All right, taxi ride. Maybe the best trip was 1965 to Anchorage. Dora and the two boys had a round-trip ticket from Fairbanks to Anchorage on the train. I wanted to try out the highway, so I rode down with Morris. Planned to meet Dora and the kids at my daughter's in Anchorage and ride the train back with them. The day before heading back to Fairbanks, I stayed up drinking all night. Come morning, I went for my one-way ticket to Fairbanks. Those people at the train station said I was short $5 or $6. Wouldn't even take my check for $5. Didn't matter that Dora and the kids had their tickets already paid. I was stuck and mad. So I just pulled all the suitcases from the train and looked for a taxi. Had to go to the bank first and call up Fairbanks for some money, enough to pay the taxi driver. It was good to see the country, but that car ride to Fairbanks cost us $250. The first time I ever saw Fairbanks, thought I'd get lost. Riding in a cab, I didn't know which way we were going. Twisting around like that, I thought, how in the world does he know where he's going? Later I catch on. That was 1926. I just got off working on the boats and decided to go up and see the town. Compared to now, Fairbanks wasn't very big that first time. You didn't have to walk very far till you got right out of town, hardly anything past 4th Avenue. I know Fairbanks pretty well by now. It got big, but we don't get lost. We go there sometimes before Christmas to do some shopping, get some little things for the kids. We have lots of kids, grandkids everywhere. Sometimes we can't do much for them, just remember them, that's all. Me and Dora get us some entertainment sometimes, too. This year we saw the dog races for a while. George Atla was trying to beat everybody. And he did. He made a good run that last day and became a champ. Well, that's it.
So, that story... Well, we haven't talked at all about student activities that go with these books. They are used in the schools, in the Yukon Koyukuk School District, and there are suggested activities that go with them for the teachers to use in the classroom. And the activities, we try and focus on things that young people see around them or have to deal with. So this story, for instance, we talk about going to a city for the first time from the bush, mm-hmm. Making your first trip alone, kinds of things that you might have to deal with, what might be frightening, what might be new, what do you do if you need money, you know, what happened to Frank, and what happened to you the first time you went, or tell us a story that you know of somebody in your village the first time they went to Anchorage or Fairbanks, and how did they deal with it? And talking about things you enjoyed and things that were frightening and how to deal with them. And from there, the teacher could take off and talk about, you know, surviving in the city. What are some of the basics that students want to know how to deal with, and what are the things some of them may have learned already? And we try and do that throughout the book. Come up with activities that link the person in the book to people living in their own village. What are similarities? What are differences?
Mm-hmm. Do you do that for every chapter, or just by the book, for each book in general?
We go through, well, it's for each book, and go through chapter by chapter. There's generally some introductory activities. For instance, each one has an activity about the language style, and especially sensitizing teachers to the language style in the book, recognizing that English is a living language, that it's spoken different ways, respecting that, talking about where it might be appropriate and where it might not. We're not saying that the way people speak in these books is the way everyone should. We're also not saying that everyone should speak standard English, you know. And so there are activities dealing with those mm-hmm. subjects as well.
How about for the people opening up to you folks? You're not from the villages. Would involve a personal relationship with you and the people you're interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things when we go in, we start out pretty low-key and try and make certain that the people we want to talk to have the time. If they don't, we leave and we'll say we'll come back. And we also start off interviews with questions that are easy to answer, you know, and constantly tell people, well, if you don't have an answer, we'll just skip it, or if you want to go back to it, and just tell me no, and you don't have to say it if it's uncomfortable. And we stress those kinds of things, and eventually most people really open up. It gets to be pretty exhausting for all of us.
Something like this would depend on the approach of the people that are taping and transcribing. Do you see a danger in people seeing these books, which are very attractive? They look like something every school district would want. Do you see a danger in people trying to copy it, not keeping some of the standards you've talked about?
I don't really think there's a problem. We hope people copy it. We hope that other school districts will start projects very similar to this. We hope that it will be something that students can learn reading and social studies and math, all kinds of things, from these local materials. We don't feel that there's any kind of danger that the standards will be lowered, because essentially the person who is doing the taping and the transcribing is an instrument, and the information comes through them and goes back out in the form. And if it's if the instrument is not very good, then the information simply won't be used. But I don't see it as a danger.
I think the main thing is if whoever would be trying to create materials feels that their source is the expert and not the person trying to do the book. You know, I think that's the main thing.
Ivan Yarber and Kurt Madison are working on a series of biographies to be used in the schools of the Yukon Koyukuk School District. The book should also be available in bookstores soon. I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.